Well, it was a visual disease on the skin. It sometimes would cause a person to even lose their nose or sometimes fingers and toes if it got bad enough. It was also very socially hard to endure. If you had leprosy, you were considered somebody that was unclean, and so you often were told to stay away from other people. That's why in our gospel passage, the lepers call out to Jesus from a distance. So this man, though he's a mighty warrior, has a debilitating thing. And though our passage skips a few verses, he kind of becomes a political pawn between the king of Syria and the king of Israel. This man goes and he goes to his king, and his king, the king of Syria, sends him with a letter to the king of Israel, telling the king of Israel, heal the commander of my army. And the king of Israel takes this as a threat that the king of Syria is looking for an excuse to bring war to Israel, and the king of Israel doesn't know what to do. This would be kind of like Vladimir Putin telling President Obama to do this for me, and Obama taking it as a threat that if I don't do this, Russia is going to make war on us. So Naaman goes to Israel with this letter, and he goes to the king, and the king doesn't know what to do. He tears his clothes. He sees that he's in a predicament. The great prophet Elisha knows that the king has torn his clothes, and so he tells the king, listen, send this guy Naaman to me, and I'll take care of it. They'll know that there is a God in Israel. And so Naaman and his entourage travel to the prophet Elisha, and when Naaman gets there, being a mighty and powerful person that he is, he gets this feeling that, well, Elisha's going to come out to meet me, and when he comes out to meet me, he's going to wave his hands in the air. He's going to make a great show of power because I'm a powerful man. Therefore, my disease must also be powerful and must need something special to be taken care of. Elisha's going to do something great for me. But instead, Elisha, the prophet, sends a messenger to go out and meet Naaman. Elisha doesn't even go to meet Naaman himself. He sends a servant, a messenger, to go talk to this great commander and gives him the simple command of to go wash in the Jordan and you'll be clean. Naaman takes offense to this. Again, this would be like a Vladimir Putin coming to Obama. And he thinks that Obama's going to do something great for him. And Obama, instead of going out to meet good old Vlad, sends the White House busboy to go meet Vlad at the airport and hand him a greeting card or something like that instead. So Naaman is angry. He thinks that Elisha should come out and make a show of power, a show over his leprosy. But instead, he gets a message. And that message is to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. Now, not only is Naaman upset that he's not getting the respect he thinks he deserves, but he's also upset that he's had to travel so far to wash in a dirty little river. And he tells the messenger, well, there's some rivers back home in Syria that are far better than this one in Israel. Are not the Abana and the Parfar so much better? They're more grand, they're cleaner, they're nicer rivers. Why couldn't I have washed there? And so he's angry, he's frustrated. But then his servants come to him and tell him, you know, if the prophet had told you to do something really difficult, you would have done it. Why, when they say something that is easy, wash and be clean, will you not do it? And so Naaman then humbles himself. He goes into the Jordan River and he washes himself 7 times and he is cleansed. He is cleansed of his leprosy and really becomes a convert to the Lord God Almighty. It's a really good, straightforward story, one that I use to teach a little bit about baptism to our confirmands recently. And this passage illustrates, I think, 2 really important things for us. The first is how effective the Word of God is. Because the Word of God does what it says it does. The Jordan River itself is not special. There's nothing magical about the waters of the Jordan. You can't travel over to Israel, take some mason jars with you, bring that water over here and expect that it will do anything special for you other than probably give you diseases if you decide to drink it. There's nothing special about that water itself. What is special is the Word of God that is connected to this river. This Word of God that Elisha gave. That word being, go wash and you will be cleansed. That is the important fact here. The second point is that this story really illustrates then for us what the Word of God does for us in baptism and really in communion when we take communion or a little bit later. There's nothing special about the water when we baptize a child. It comes from the tap just right before the service. If Laura is doing it, she's really nice. She makes sure that the water is warm before we baptize. I try to do that too, but I might forget at times. That's probably why we haven't had any criers yet at our baptisms. There's nothing special about that water. It's tap water. When we have communion, there's nothing special about the elements. The bread, I could, if I chose to, I could order that from Amazon.com. You could do the same. The wine comes from the bar. It's not made from special grapes that came from Israel, the Holy Land. They are plain and natural things. What is important about them is that the Word of God is connected to them. And this Word does what it says. When we have a baptism, we often hear the words from Mark 16, which says, if you believe and are baptized, you are saved. When we have communion today, we'll hear the words, Body of Christ given for you, blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. The Word of Christ is connected to these. The promise of God is given to us, and it is the promise of God, the Word of God, that is powerful and does what it says it does. As Paul says in our letter from 2 Timothy, the Word of God is not chained. The Word of God is not bound, but it is set loose upon this earth to do what God desires to do in this world. It is not bound by the world. It is not bound by Satan. It is not bound by our own sinful flesh, but yet it is here and it desires that people who cry out for mercy would receive it and receive the salvation of the Lord. This is why we come to church, to receive the Word of the Lord from pulpit, in the sacraments, as we read it together, so that we can have the forgiveness of sins. And this is also why we leave the church, because we are called then to take this word of forgiveness to the rest of the world, which, like the lepers, cries out for mercy, for salvation. But how are they to hear a word if it is not taken to them? We are called to come, and we are called to leave, because the world is crying for mercy. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your sacred word, which tells us many things, but primary amongst those is the promises that you give us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, gave himself for us, that we might have life in his name. And now as we prepare to receive the promises through the body and blood, the bread and the wine, give us clean hearts. Show us where we might need to repent, where we need your forgiveness, and give us clean hearts. We pray this in your name. Amen.